You're listening to the Rise and Align with Food podcast. I'm Rashonda Yates. 8 years ago, I found myself struggling with food and my weight. I was pre-diabetic, 100 pounds overweight, and felt like my life was getting smaller with every passing day. I know firsthand how hard it can be to break free from those struggles. And that's why I'm here to share my story and the simple tools that helped me retrain my brain and release 70 pounds. Let's work together to see what's possible for you, so you too can finally break free from binge eating, lose weight, and have peace with your food and your body. Welcome, and thank you for pressing play. Hi, and welcome back to the Rise and Align with Food podcast. I'm coming to you from my car with an impromptu episode that was inspired by some of my past experiences, well, recent past experiences, where I want to share with you a little bit of what it looks like when you do find freedom and yet things still aren't quote unquote perfect. So I want to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and just give you a little bit of insight into my own life. And, you know, in a situation where I don't eat perfectly, when, you know, my choices about eating are affected by my emotional state. And so, you know, I might wind up eating something that maybe didn't serve me in that moment. Maybe it felt like a choice that, you know, looking back, I would have made a different choice in that moment. And how do I navigate that? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And how do I move forward? How is it not an all-out relapse? So that's what I want to talk to you about today. So this past week, I would say, you know, the last 7 or so days, I went through a period of feeling apathetic is really the best word that I can describe it. Just a period of feeling just apathy. My energy went down. I was feeling really lethargic. I had a lot of, sleeping in days for me. I usually get up by 7 at the latest, you know, but I had several days of sleeping in until like 9 or 10 a.m., which is just unlike me. Like, all my life, I've never really been a person who sleeps in. And I was feeling kind of like just this feeling of hopelessness. You know, it was really just a down period of time. And it was right on the heels. It was right after getting sick. I actually got sick several weeks ago. And that's when it started. So I haven't completely unpacked like what exactly caused this period. I tend to be the type of person who, when I go through things like this, I look at them as opportunities to learn, you know, like what am I being taught in this situation? And, you know, that's probably going to be for another episode, because I did learn a lot about just myself and how to handle situations like this. But I want to share what happened with my eating around this time. So to get, you know, straight to the point, to be direct about it, I ended up, you know, eating in a way that I don't typically eat these days, which is, I was feeling down, and like I bought some items from the store that, you know, in hindsight, they really weren't what I needed in that moment, you know? And it was like some gelato, like just grocery store gelato. I think I even bought like a piece of cake, and I don't remember what else, but I want to talk to you about just kind of like my thought process about, I just remembered I bought like some chips, like
just several, a cluster of items. Like, typically, I would buy, like, maybe one item that I think of as just an indulgence, you know, like, pure indulgence, just for fun, no nutritional value, just something that tastes good and that's fun to eat. Something that you might think of as being a treat, you know, everybody's got different language that feels good to them around their food, so I don't really, you know, I'm not offering this as a appropriate way or a correct way to talk about it, but, like, you might call it a treat, you might call it an indulgence, you might just call it, you know, food with no real nutritional value, whatever it is, however you think about and talk about your food that feels good for you. That doesn't feel like you're putting yourself into a trap or, you know, being restrictive or whatever. So for me, you know, I think of these foods as just indulgences, you know, like ice cream, chips, whatever. They're foods that aren't necessarily going to provide nutritional content, but they are fun to eat. I don't deprive myself of these things. I have them in moderation. But on this particular day, I had them in excess. And while it wasn't a binge, it's the type of thing that in the past could have easily triggered a binge, because it could have triggered feelings of guilt, remorse, shame, etc., etc., etc. Now, while I knew that these particular items in this particular quantity at this time weren't serving me, I didn't go into shame. I didn't go into guilt. I didn't go into remorse. And therefore, I didn't spiral into overcorrection, like over-restricting myself. And I didn't try to soothe myself by binge eating, because there were no residual emotions to soothe. And what I mean by that is that I saw accurately, okay, this was not the right choice for me. This was not helpful. It didn't make me feel better. You know, it didn't change the situation. Like, it wasn't helpful. I saw that accurately. However, I didn't judge myself for what I did. And that is the result of the healing that I've done. That is the result of being recovered. So what I want to get across the plate, so to speak, the point that I want to drive home is that the situation that happened was an example of not being perfect. And it is totally normal to not be perfect. No one is perfect, in fact. And everyone makes mistakes. So would I consider that a mistake? Yes. I would consider that a mistake. I would consider that, you know, I was reactive in that moment and, you know, made choices that were out of alignment with my healthy self, my self that thinks clearly, that's myself who loves myself and really wants the best for me, who wants to be kind to myself, who wants to treat myself well with respect and care. That was out of alignment with that self. But the part of myself that was in alignment was the part that I didn't judge myself for it, that I acknowledged in a healthy way that I had made a mistake and that I could then kind of look deeper into what happened to reveal what were the ways that I was thinking and what were the ways that I was being when I made that choice, and what might I do differently given that opportunity to do it over? And so I want to just emphasize that this is normal, right? This is just normal. Like, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes with their food choices from time to time. But what's different? How is me eating some indulgences in excess in today's Rashonda, so to speak, different from the Rashonda who was in the throes of binge eating disorder, like who was gripped by it, who was in that state constantly and perpetually? And there's so many things that I could talk about, but what I want to talk about is just the lack of judgment now versus the judgment that I experienced back then. Because the past me, the person who was in the grips of this addictive behavior, is in constant judgment of myself. You know, every single little mistake I made, I beat myself up over it. In other words, I wanted myself to be perfect. I thought that I needed to be perfect, and I didn't necessarily think of it consciously. It was very much unconscious. And it was that I would react negatively when I wasn't perfect, and I would do those things. I would overcompensate. I would try to fix the problem from this place of feeling like a failure. And so I would over-restrict, and then all I would do was set myself up for another binge. And in a moment, I'm going to talk to you about what I realized when I kind of unpacked it, because I wasn't triggered by my own mistake, so to speak. One of my favorite illustrations of this idea, you know, of not being triggered by your own mistake, which is something that just came to me as I was sharing. You know, I've never really thought about it that way, but that's really what happens, is we get triggered by our own mistakes, which then compounds the issue, you know, whereas it could have been just a mistake, just missing the mark one time, it turns into a full blown spiral, you know, self-sabotage. Like, the mistake in itself isn't the self-sabotage. It's how we react to the mistake when we get triggered by it. And what is that trigger exactly? It's a judgment of some type. And the illustration that came to mind was the second arrow story, which is a Buddhist story, which discusses this idea that, you know, when you're shot by the first arrow, meaning something happens, you make a mistake, or you have some type of shortcoming or some type of failure, the second arrow is a self-inflicted injury of judgment that you layer on top of that, and how that judgment actually really amplifies the issue and makes it worse. You know, oftentimes when I'm working with a student on helping them to stop binge eating, I notice that when I suggest to the student that they be kind to themselves, a very, very common pushback to that suggestion is, no, I'm too kind to myself. Thinking that, you know, you're too easy on yourself. Thinking that you allow yourself to be too soft on yourself because you never say no to yourself. And I get it. You know, I get where this automatic reaction comes from. And, you know, it's interesting, because it's hard to see that even that reaction comes from a place of judgment. You know, it comes from you thinking that you're too soft or too undisciplined or too whatever. And so you're automatically judging yourself that you're not tough enough on yourself. And that means that you're already too kind to yourself, you know? And it's very, very common, especially with people who actually are very driven and ambitious in some area of life, you know, who think that the way to succeed in life is to actually accomplish a lot and to push yourself and to drive yourself toward a goal,
you know? And I'm very much that way myself, which is why I, you know, I get this. And what I invite you to consider is that kindness isn't a matter of how strict you are on yourself or how lax you are on yourself, but it's a matter of how you care for yourself and how you see yourself regardless of what you do. And, you know, I think the very best example that I can find for this is a mother and child. Now, I'm not a parent. So if I'm off base with this, parents, please chime in. But I imagine that, you know, your child can make mistakes and yet your care and concern for them doesn't change. You know, it doesn't diminish your love for them. It doesn't diminish your care for them. And yeah, you might accidentally speak harshly to your child, but you probably, if you do speak harshly to your child, you probably recognize that that was, you know, out of character, or it's probably something that you don't necessarily want to be doing. You still, even though they might make mistakes, you still want to speak kindly to them because you care for them. You care about them. Maybe you apologize if you were harsh, you know? Yet how often do we apologize to ourselves when we're harsh toward ourselves? And, you know, what we say to ourselves is often far more reprehensible than anything that we might say to someone else. And so I invite you to consider how much more kindness can you really treat yourself and talk to yourself? And also that when we really get into this space of kindness, how it shifts how we react to little mistakes that we might make. So how much less would, you know, eating a pint of ice cream when we really didn't need to, how much less will that spiral into full-on self-sabotage when we truly appreciate, approach it with kindness? You know, when we look at that situation and we say, that wasn't good. That was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Versus, you know, no matter what I do, nothing works for me. I keep messing up, you know, like the energy of that feels so different. Like even when I started going into that energy, just for demonstration purposes, I already start to feel that contraction in my sternum, you know, bringing my mood down. So the next thing I want to share with you is how it changes your reaction. Like when you come from true kindness, and it's all a journey, right? It's not like even this, like the problem for many people who suffer with perfectionism is that you start to get into perfectionism about even things like being kind to yourself. And I want to offer that it is not about perfectly being kind to yourself. It's about practicing kindness. It's about progress. And so even as you venture to be more kind to yourself, how can you look at it as just all, you know, being open and curious and doing it as much as you can from a place of self-love and self-compassion? So going back to my situation where I found myself eating in excess, overindulging in certain foods, and I was able to look at that and say, you know what, that was a mistake. Like I did not need that gelato and chips and a piece of cake. Like I did not need all that. But because of where I'm at now on the path of self-kindness, I didn't judge myself for it. I did not shame myself for it. But I still didn't let myself off the hook,
You see, because of the kindness that I approached the whole situation with, I still did not let myself off the hook for it. I still held myself accountable that it was indeed a mistake. And because I wasn't going into the emotions of judgment and shame, I was able to learn from it. I was able to look at that situation and say, okay, like, what led to that choice? And here's what I discovered. And it's multifaceted, all right? So this is a big takeaway. Number one, I was overly hungry. The first place that I look when I recognize that I'm triggered about something is, there's a couple of places that I look, but I've talked a lot about the first place, which is just my physiology. I just immediately drop into my body and notice what's there. But so I would say this is probably the second place I look is like, if it's not shifting, halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And what I've discovered is that if I'm overly hungry and experience some type of negative trigger emotion, it's kind of a double whammy. You know, so I remember that day that I made the overindulgent choices. I was in the grocery store and I was super hungry, you know, which means that there was somewhere along that day, a lack of planning or a miscalculation in my time or something. And that was layered on top of my emotional state that I was feeling, which was like I said earlier, apathy, you know, feelings of sadness. And so all these things were affecting each other. Now, the learning opportunity here is to be able to see, you know, oh, like it really is important, like reinforcing this idea that I've discovered of the importance of setting yourself up for success. Things like planning, things like eating enough food before you begin your day. Again, it's not about being perfect about it. It's about your approach. Everything in life is really about how you're being, how you're approaching everything that you're going through. Because life is going to have these ups and downs. That's not avoidable. But what is avoidable is spiraling into self-sabotage. There comes a time when you have recognized your patterns enough that you can actually stop yourself from going backwards. You can stop yourself from making the same mistakes again that you used to make. So, for example, in this situation, whereas I used to binge, you know, I used to end up going in, you know, back into binge eating. Just, you know, think of it like, for a metaphor, if you constantly drive over a pothole because you take one road to work until one day you realize, wait a minute, why do I keep coming down this street and driving over this crazy pothole when I could just go down this other street, you know, that's going to lead me to the exact same place. And you start just going down a different path. And you know, you might start going down that path and then, you know, and you start to feel better. And then there's a hiccup and then you end up back down the other path again. That's called a relapse. And this is actually, by the way, part of recovery. Like relapse is actually one of the steps. It's a part that pretty much everybody who changes permanently goes through. But it's when the more you can start, again, approaching it with kindness, the more you start to learn from those moments of relapse, and suddenly you have fewer and fewer relapses. And then one day, it's just a little mistake. It's like, oh, that's no big deal. You know, yes, that was a mistake. I see what happened. I'm reflecting on it and I'm learning from it, you know? And before you get to the part where you can say, okay, I'm just going to learn from it, you might forget a few times to reflect. You know, it's all a process, but as long as you are
being kind to yourself, you will keep moving forward. And as long as you keep moving forward, you'll get where you want to be. I think for people who never make those steps forward, it's the people who never learn how to really be kind and compassionate toward themselves. And so I think I've beat that dead horse enough. I think I've said all that needs to be said on this. And, you know, I would truly love to hear. Today has been a little bit of a experiment of kind of going back to the basics with the podcast. You probably heard some random noises because I was driving for part of it. I just had my phone on record as I was driving. You know, I was literally at the mechanic, sitting in my car waiting for him to come and check my car for part of it. And just kind of experimenting with what it feels like to be, because I'm a kinesthetic person, and to feel what it feels like to be moving through my day as I'm sharing with you, because oftentimes that's when things come to me, you know? I'd be curious if anybody can relate to that. But if you got any value from this, I would love it if you could leave me a review or, you know, screenshot this and tag me on Instagram. That you're getting value from it. You know, I heard another podcaster say this and I was like, ain't that the truth? You know, that it really is motivating, for me to sit down and create more when I get that feedback from you. So I truly do appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for everyone who's already reviewed, rated, the podcast, because it really helps. It helps me to reach more people. It helps me to keep coming back and making more episodes. And just to, you know, have that sense of connection and community, that is so important to me. It's one of my highest values in creating and being just a human being, you know, connection and community. So it truly means the world to me. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I will catch you on another episode of the Rise and Align with Food podcast. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have gained any value from this episode or from the podcast in general, then I would really appreciate it if you would leave a review on iTunes. It is such a big help. It helps me to reach more people. And if you did gain any insights, I would love to hear your takeaways and how you're implementing these tools. Over on Instagram, you can follow me at Rashonda Yates and send me a DM and let me know what you are using, what you're taking away from the episode, what your ahas are, things that you're seeing differently. I love having conversations with you over there. And until next time, I'll catch you on another episode. Bye.